It's our availability to the Holy Spirit. It's our availability to the Blessed Mother. It's our availability to the Lord. It's in that surrender that things just happen. If we can just live in that moment of being with the Holy Spirit, then it takes the pressure off.
We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. You're listening to episode number 42. And today we are discussing mentorship and discipling others. And Becky and I have often talked about this particular aspect. Both of us have had experiences in our faith walk where there have been, I would kind of say, pivotal players that have helped us along the path. Becky also had some other experiences prior to coming back to the church that were fruitful in that endeavor. And so we were going to talk about that today.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk about this. I hope we light a fire, sister.
Amen.
So, yeah, I guess we can just kind of jump in. You want to just jump in? Do you have anything else you want to say to
anybody? Maybe I'll just say a couple things. I think in our Catholic circles, and especially in parishes, sometimes we hear these phrase words or these buzzwords or these, you know, terms that maybe people are coming up with in the church to really hone our focus in onto perhaps like a pastoral calling. So, you know, you might hear things like being a missionary disciple or a fervent disciple or, intentional disciple. And they're awesome. I think maybe some people are like, I don't really know what that means or what that looks like. Ultimately, all of those mean a sense of going out, right? So it's not just what we say get from our parish or get from Mass, but what we can give. How can we disciple? How do we go out? So, and I like all those terms, like mission, you know, intentional. They're all really good things. How do we make that really tangible in our walk on a daily basis? And so that's a little bit, I think, of what we're going to try to talk about. So there's so many great resources in our Catholic world about this particular topic of being disciples. But how do we do it?
Yeah. You know, the other word I hear a lot that's been a little more difficult for me to wrap my mind around, or I think maybe I wrapped my mind around it, but maybe I'm missing the mark, and that's spiritual motherhood. You know, you hear definitely those who choose the religious life are spiritual mothers, and I understand that, and I think I understand. Because I say all the time that I have a spiritual mother, and excuse me, she's one of those women that I get to spend time with on a regular basis, and she definitely feeds me and helps me on my faith journey. So, I guess is that what the church means by spiritual motherhood?
Okay. I would say that. I mean, I would use it that way. Because, yeah, there's certainly people that I've had in my life that have been in that role, and then that I've found myself in that role of, maybe just for a short period in somebody's life, that you can be that person for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and I know the church calls Mary our spiritual mother. So
that's right.
In the technical capital.
Yes.
Way.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
In some of my research, I saw Jeanette Bankovich she used the word sacred sisterhood. And I do like that quite a bit. And I want to make sure that she gets the credit for it. I believe it's even a trademarked name. So, anyway, Jeanette and the Women of Grace have a lot of resources on their website. So, the thing that I think our church is hungry for, and speaking of spiritual mother, she tells me this all the time. And I think we said this, I said this last week on our episode with Megan Helmstad about being a daughter of God. And that's, we don't know how loved we are. And part of that is because we aren't growing in our relationship with God the Father and Jesus the Son, our brother, you know, walking in step with the Holy Spirit. But the truth is until we have someone model that behavior, it's kind of foreign, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. You know, circling back to that sacred sisterhood, I love that piece. Mm-hmm. I really like that. I mean, we use the term sisterhood a lot, right? I think you're seeing it a lot floating around in kind of the Catholic circles today. But I love the piece about it being sacred. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that even almost more than the sisterhood part. You know, because we're called to such a greatness in that, that it really is like it's sacred ground. You know, it's sacred ground to walk with somebody through a troubling experience, right? Especially when they're confiding, they're allowing themselves to be ministered to. And, or if we're opening our hearts up to be open to the ministering of somebody else, that really does become a sacred ground because we're inviting God truly, truly into that. You know, this isn't sisterhood just like, hey, this is great. We can have coffee and talk about our faith together. Mm-hmm. It's much more than that. And so when you brought it up, I was like, wow, that's just such a great term. So hopefully we can point people to some of their resources on that, on our show notes.
Yeah, I definitely will. Yeah, maybe we need to get John Ann on the podcast sometime, and she can share even more about what's available, because it's a lot out there. And but she's a great resource that we have in the church. But you know, a lot of what I see out there, what you and I were looking for, because once this topic came up, I thought, well, I know there's a lot of things in the non-Catholic world, I've had experience with them, and there's typically kind of this program that you can follow, and it helps you, because most people feel unequipped. Let's get real. Most people feel unequipped. I can't be a spiritual mother, or I can't help someone else on their faith journey. I've not arrived. Well, of course you've not arrived. None of us have. We're doing a podcast. We haven't arrived.
Right.
Oh, no. Did I just bust somebody's bubble?
Yeah, no.
No, they've
honesty
already
is best.
Heard that.
Yeah, exactly.
They know that. If they're still listening, they totally know that. But I kind of was looking for more of the Catholic resources, and I saw a lot of ministries, but as you pointed out, Megan, they are more small group focused.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, like, that small group, we're literally maybe it could be anywhere from 5 to 10 people, and you have a facilitator, you know, one of the other women. And, you know, you might have a reading or assignment, and you discuss that as a group, which is awesome. That's so great. But and there is some openness and some faith sharing that can take place in those settings, and I think that's awesome. All of this is good, you know, but sometimes we need that one-on-one. And I so often think about, you know, how the early church grew. You know, it was always that person-to-person encounter. Always. I mean, even when, you know, when the apostles went out, did they oftentimes speak to crowds? Of course they did. And that was all part of it too. But often what brought about a deeper element of faith was a person-to-person connection. Oftentimes it involves some sort of a miracle too, right? Whether it was a physical healing or a spiritual healing that just magnified the glory of God so tangibly for someone that to become a disciple for that now new person was like breathing. It, you know, when the glory of God is magnified in a moment like that, there's no direction needed. Like, okay, now go out and do these 5 steps and then you go disciple somebody else. I mean, it just happens. It's a change of heart that happens. And I believe that so much of that comes about from that intimacy that person-to-person encounter where the heart of God is revealed and a healing takes place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And just to have someone care enough that they're going to take time out of their day, whether it's once a week or every 2 weeks, but you have a consistent time where you're meeting and sharing together. And when someone is willing to give you their time and their energy in that way, it's fruitful, and gosh, it just feels good to be loved in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah. So I'll share a little story about the very first time that this happened for me. This was pretty early on. I think I was pregnant with Avery, who is now 12. So this was quite a bit ago. And this woman called me, didn't know who she was. And she had received my name from someone else in the church we were going to at the time. And she said, "Hey, I want to do this discipleship program with you." Now, granted, this is a time I'm not in the Word a whole lot. I don't even really know how to read the Bible. I couldn't defend my faith. I was still very much a baby in the faith. And even, I shouldn't say it like that, because I was in my 20s and I had been raised in the church. So, but at this point I was away from the church. I just didn't know, faith. And probably I was walking in quite a bit of time of confusion too. But anyway, she took me in, and their program was that she would disciple me and through these four books. And this first book was all about the foundations of faith. And I look back, and it was so good to do that, because I mean, there's some foundational things, and I think we all need those foundational things. We need to teach people how to have a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teach people how to go to the church, how to read the catechism, how to read the Bible, how to just go deeper. But anyway, mm-hmm. So, and then I was to challenge someone else to go through the program with me. So then I would start discipling that person with the same books and on and on and on. And it's a little bit like a pyramid scheme if you want to have a visual in your mind about it. But they weren't scheming, and they really were sharing, desiring to share the love of Christ with others. And I would say for sure that was a catalyst for me in my mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew more confident with talking with others. Then I started pouring into college age girls and would eventually help lead some Bible studies and for college girls and et cetera, et cetera. So it really was the catalyst. And honestly, and then I'm here.
Right.
So God brought much fruit from it, and
that's awesome.
And then I've had different women over the years mentor me. It's always nice to have someone older that can mentor and pour into your life,
right?
And then you can also, I found that there were different seasons. There was there you go, Vanessa, seasons. There were some times that I needed someone pouring into me, that I was so empty and dry and struggling that I just needed someone to be speaking life and encouragement into me. And then there were other seasons that I was able to do that for someone else.
Right. Right. Which is so important too. And because we're always going to need that, you know, we're like you said in the beginning, we've not arrived. We're not, I mean, it's a whole journey, so that we have to keep that in mind, that we're going to always need somebody leading us. And then there's always the opportunity to lead others. And for those who are thinking the way I think oftentimes, which is, I can't do that. I'm not equipped. I still have this issue over here. We have to remember it's ultimately really not us anyway. It's our availability to the Holy Spirit. It's our availability to the Blessed Mother. It's our availability to the Lord. That, and then it's in that surrender that things just happen. So, and you really, when you think about it in that aspect, it's like, it really takes the pressure off, because there isn't, you know, we hear that terminology, like, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Mm-hmm. And if we can sit in that and think about that, it's true. If we can just live in that moment of being with the Holy Spirit and just allow him to work through us, then it takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off that we have to know everything, because we can't. We can't. So, you know, that's part of it too, because everybody has the ability to surrender their life to Jesus and their heart to the Holy Spirit, to be open to that. So you don't have to always have this necessary skill set. If you have a love for God's people, that's really all you need. Mm-hmm. Because God loves us so much. I mean, he loves his people so much. And what we're really asking for is to be able to love on another person in the way in which God wants to love on them.
Right.
You know, I would say the one thing that I really do encourage, though, is that we are authentically walking with Christ, not just thinking that we are, and not embracing all of what the church has to offer, or not embracing all of what the church has to teach, because we would never, you know, want to unintentionally lead somebody astray. Mm-hmm. So that's the one caveat that I do want to, you know, put out there, that if there is an obedience to the church and a love and an understanding for what our church preaches and stands upon, and then the openness and availability of the Holy Spirit, they're really the only qualifications anybody needs, right?
Right, right. Well, I think this is a really good time to bring up the scripture that most of these type men and women's ministries are revolved around, and that's Titus 2. Mm-hmm. And this is where Paul is talking to Titus, and this particular section of the book is about teaching sound doctrine. And so Paul tells Titus to teach what befits sound doctrine, to bid the older men to be temperate, serious, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. And then he tells Titus to teach the women, the older women, likewise, to be reverent in behavior, not to be slanderers or slaves to drink. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be sensible, chaste, domestic, kind, and submissive to their husbands, that the word of God may not be discredited. Holy smokes. So that the word of God may not be discredited. Hmm. Whoa. I mean, our actions, our behavior really matters. It just really does. It's the witness we give to the world. And your point about if you're objecting one of the teachings of the church, which tends to be, you know, one of those teachings that are the hardest to take, that we could be discrediting the word of God in those right. moments. I mean, anything, you know, that's if right. I'm going around telling everybody that, yeah, yes, let's drink all the time and this and that and, you know, whatever, or, oh, your husband's being a jerk and you don't have to put up with that. I mean, of course, you know, those are kind of exaggerated examples, but mm-hmm. It's just doing life together.
Right.
Not all of life, but.
Yeah. And it, yeah. All, again, always through the lens of God's plan and God's vision, you know? So, mm-hmm. you know, I hate to bring this up again, but it's kind of like if you're contracepting in your marriage, now's not the time to be mentoring somebody. Mm-hmm. If, like me, you knew that and did contracept in your marriage and came to see the true understanding and have repented and now know the truth and can speak in the truth into others' lives, then you are called to be a mentor.
Absolutely.
In that topic. So all of this always is in the light of what God's plan is, not our plan. It's not our opinions. Remember, we, like I said, I don't want my opinions. I want God's opinions, and I want to work in the creativity and the freedom of his opinions, not mine. Mm-hmm. Because there's certainly more slavery found in my opinions than in God's. So,
right.
Yeah. So another disclaimer.
Yeah, no, and that's really good. And I will tell you that, ladies, we have a real gift of the church. And I probably belabor this point so much, but any of these times that I've had a mentor, someone in my life, outside of the Catholic faith, we didn't always see eye to eye on all points. So there was this, I don't know how to really say that, but there wasn't 100% being able to just fall in step with the Spirit, because I'm always trying to check, okay, well, what does that mean? What is that doctrine? Does she believe in that doctrine or not? You know, we have the gift of the church. So we always go back to Mother Church. We don't have to fight over doctrine. Hallelujah, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about the doctrine that we want or we think. It's about the doctrines, the dogmas that the church has given us. Jesus gave us.
Yeah, exactly.
The church.
Right.
Jesus gave us. And so, and when someone has a question, you can go to the catechism together, mm-hmm. you know, pray this out together. Teach one another how to pray mm-hmm. for answers. Pray for discernment, to be patient, to bear up one another when one's in the desert. Mm-hmm. This is that women encouraging women. We need each other.
Mm-hmm. We do. We really do. And, you know, there's so many phases that we go through as women, you know, from being single to being newly married, to being married with small children, to being, you know, on this journey of marriage in and of itself, and then having children at different stages. There's so much capacity in the heart of a woman and ability to ebb and flow through these different stages. It's really mind blowing if you think about it. I mean, all that we have the we have this like elasticity and this ability to stretch in so many different ways to be receptive to things in our life, and it's really amazing. So I encourage all women to really kind of look back sometimes and see how much they've grown and stretched and in all these different capacities of their life. Because I think we can get stuck in sometimes maybe a past mistake or a past shortcoming. And, you know, the reality is that the Lord, when it is something that we have confessed, the Lord's not stuck there at all. He has so moved on, and he's called us to move on too. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage women to do that too. And that's why we do need each other, because sometimes it's the words of another person that can speak into that, that brings the freedom for us.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so true. And you know, we haven't gotten to talk about that. That's pretty Southern to say it like that, right? We have not had a chance to really dig into this topic of charisms and how God has uniquely built each one of us and called and gifted each one of us. So
that's a Sherry Wydell. We got to give her.
I didn't mean to say it that way, but as soon as it came out, called and gifted, that's totally Sherry Wydell. And she has a lot on she has her book, Forming Intentional Disciples. And I haven't read it yet, but I want to. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that it's really a game changer for a lot of people. But she is the one who talks so much about how Catholics need a personal relationship with God. That there are so many Catholics who are walking in their faith and really being doing things. They when you meet them on the outside and you look at their life, you're like, wow, what a faithful Catholic person that is. But when you start asking questions, and really digging in, they don't have a relationship. It's really fascinating because you would think there's no way that person can't have a relationship, fruitful, powerful, daily basis, like Mother Teresa kind of conversation with God, right? And so she just says she sees it more and more and more as she's out and about speaking with Catholic leaders and teaching and such. And I found that fascinating. And she says, no, this is no hard data. This is the experience. These things that she says are from the experiences she has had going out and about. And she goes all over the world. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that her experience is small, but there's like no Pew Research data to back that up.
Really?
But I'm sorry, I kind of got off on a tangent. But my point was, is that we are all called, we are all gifted with a charism to go out and serve the body of Christ in a certain way. And it takes prayer and discernment to know exactly what that is and what that's going to look like. Though you probably, if you read through the different charisms, you would have some inklings. Oh, wow. Yeah, you know what? I usually do that. That sounds a lot like me, you know.
Right. So, you know, I remember when I had gone through the Called and Gifted program a couple years ago, and discovering the charisms was a big help for me. Mm-hmm. And mostly because I was like, oh my gosh, this happens so much in my life, and I didn't know it had a name. So that was just good for me and my temperament. Like, oh, this thing that happens, or this thing that I experience is actually real and it has a name. And that was good because then I could really accept and embrace it a bit more. But I can remember talking to some people and saying, oh yeah, you should, this is a great program and it really helps. And a lot of times people would respond to me like, oh, I don't have any charisms. Like, I don't know. And that made me sad because everybody does. Everybody mm-hmm. does. And, you know, what's really interesting is that at the Vatican Council, the Second Vatican Council, the encouragement there really was that the Holy Spirit was guiding the church into a rediscovery of the importance of their charisms. And they really did talk about that. And one of the things is that we really do need to understand is that it is a gift from God. It comes freely, but it is our responsibility to use them for the good of others. Those charisms are not just meant for ourselves. They were specifically meant to build the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And actually, as luck would have it, I right in front of me, I have from Dr. Mary Healy's book titled Healing, a section that I was actually reading this morning on this particular thing. And I actually did not do this in preparation for the podcast. I did this because this is where I am on what I was reading this morning. But this was actually taken from Vatican II when the council fathers were reiterating Paul's teaching from Thessalonians. And it says, from the acceptance of these charisms, including those which are more elementary, there arise for each believer the right and duty to use them in the church and in the world for the good of men and the building up of the church in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, who breathes where he wills. Now that part is from John chapter 3, verse 8. What really jumps out at me is the right and duty. When I hear...
That jumped out to me too. I wrote it down.
Yeah. When I hear right... Like, we have that to me is a permission, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And when I hear duty, I hear obligation,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I mm-hmm. think, okay, so I have the right, but I also have the obligation. And then mm-hmm. when you think you have an obligation from God, like, I want to do it. No, right. I'm not going to sit back on it. I really want to do it. So just wanted to share that little bit as well.
No, I love that. And I hope you, I don't know if there's a link to that Vatican II document that you can share, or if it's just like a piece of that that you can share with me?
We can put that in the show notes too.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, in the Called and Gifted program, I've gone through parts of it. I haven't finished it totally, but Sherry Waddell talks about how we are to be disciples. Yes. But we're also to be apostles, little a apostles. And this was a little scandalous at first. There were a couple other friends in that class, and we looked at each other. I don't know. We can't. Apostles, that's like 12 people. There was 12 apostles, and, you know, we got a little antsy. But anyway, we did some research, and, of course, the Lord is good, and he provided all these articles timely and even not looking for them. But that does talk about there is an office of apostle. That's a capital A. That's our bishops. That's our magisterium. Those are offices, right? Mm-hmm. Apostolic offices. But we are called to first become disciples. And that's sitting at the feet of Christ, learning, hearing his teachings, and learning them. And once we've been taught, and of course, we're always in a state of learning. It's not a one and done, or, you know, whatever. You don't get confirmed and all of a sudden you're done. Then you go out. Mm-hmm. To be an apostle is to go out and to build up the kingdom of God.
Right.
And I think this is probably a really good time too, also to remember that we do have our vocation. And none of this comes at the expense of you are in a season like me, where, and Megan, where we both still have children at home, and we're married, our spouse, our children, and their salvation comes before we go out and minister to the world. As Mother Teresa says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that we are keeping things in balance, and that we're not binding you with this, oh my, I have to go get this mentoring relationship, either with someone pouring into me or me pouring into someone else, but kids and, you know. So I don't want to bind anyone feeling like they're not doing something, but
Well, sure, and it doesn't have to be, and I'm glad you did that just to give people that freedom, but it also doesn't have to be scheduled, so to speak. So it could be in a moment. You know, you're leaving church, and somehow you're leaving the pickup line at school, and somehow there just this conversation strikes up where you feel moved to maybe speak truth into that person's heart. And it lasts 15 minutes and you go, you know, on and about your day, getting to the grocery store. Even though those moments are beautiful moments. And so that's even a mentorship moment, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that you pointed out the difference between disciple and apostle. So when, you know, just like in its simplest form, like the disciple is that learning stage and the apostle piece is now that going out stage. And as a church, we have to go out. I mean, what good is it to just soak in all this knowledge and learn and follow Jesus and yet not go out?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the real piece that we're very much called to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, this is from the Catechism. The visible rites, R-I-T-E-S, the rites by which the sacraments are celebrated, signify and make present the graces proper to each sacrament. They bear fruit in those who receive them with the required dispositions. And then it goes on in Catechism 1072, the sacred liturgy does not exhaust the entire activity of the church. It must be preceded by evangelization, faith, and conversion. It can then produce its fruit in the lives of the faithful. New life in the Spirit, involvement in the mission of the church, and service to her unity. And that's Catechism 1072. So just exactly what
Perfect.
You were.
Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So important. And I And I think sometimes we can get stuck in that place of discipleship, like the learning stage, mm-hmm. because we do get tripped up in that, well, I'm not ready yet. I'm still learning. I'm not ready yet. Mm-hmm. And I really want to encourage people to realize that, again, walking in step with the Holy Spirit, yeah, we don't have to rely completely on our human knowledge to be able to reveal the heart of the Father to another person if right. if we're really open to the Holy Spirit in that, right? Because, you know, so I this whole discernment of spirits piece too, you know, we oftentimes are still digesting and deciphering in our mind and in our heart what's from the Lord, what's from me, what's from the enemy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've learned from that helps me recognize that is, you know, often the thing, well, not often, always the things that come from God are good, right? So there might be something like, I see somebody and I think, oh, they look sad. Like they really need some encouragement. Okay, that's good. We're called to encourage. Mm-hmm. Then I could have that moment where I'm like, well, I don't really know them. That's going to look really weird because I don't, you know, I know them a little bit, or what if they think I'm bizarre? What if they reject it? Okay. And then there's the follow-up thought of, yeah, because you're not really there yet. And you really didn't do a great job this morning when you, you know, came down heavy on your, you know, 15-year-old because he left his inhaler at home again. Sorry, I'm totally revealing my son's shortcoming right now. You know, what do you have to offer? You're not really walking this walk that great. You mm-hmm. see, like there were three patterns of thought.
That's
right?
Such a lie. Yeah.
Right. So recognizing first thought, the encouragement, that's good. That is from God. Second piece was my thought process, because it began with I. Like, what if they don't, you know, or they don't like me, or I'm embarrassed, or what if they reject me? Like, it was very self-centered. That's when I know it's like my thought. And then the third piece is I need to be able to more easily recognize the enemy's thoughts when it was that discouragement. Like, come on, you're really not that great. Look at how you handled that. And so you hear the right. the you terminologies in there. So basically for me, it's like, oh, I must have drawn this little model, but like God's thoughts are others. Like, look at her. She's hurting. Mm-hmm. My thoughts are me. And then the enemy's thoughts are you. That's mm-hmm. that's kind of how they come in.
And they're, that's awesome.
Right? God's great. Other and encouraging. Mine are self-absorbed. And then the enemies are accusatory towards me and they're discouraging.
Yeah. Wow. Right? Why haven't you ever told me that before?
I don't
Why
know. You ever thank you, Holy. Like thank you, Holy Spirit. Literally, I'm seeing like a pyramid, like almost like, you know, in grammar we know certain things. Like today I go, yesterday I went, have has or had mm-hmm. gone. Right? We have those little like charts in our mm-hmm. mind when we know how to use certain things and how to recognize certain things. We need that in discernment too. Yeah. Oh, because how our thoughts go in our mind. I'd be curious if that resonates with anybody, because that's just a lot of clarity for me and how I'm recognizing like, oh,
I know where that's coming from. Resonated with me.
Okay. That's good.
Forget all those other people.
Okay. It worked. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well,
yeah.
Anything else you think we should, encourage one another in?
Nope. You know what? I think this is a good place to wrap up. I think I would say if what we were just talking about resonated in your heart, let's focus on hearing from the Lord more and hearing when he's asked us in encouragement and it's about another person. He wants mm-hmm. to love on another person through us. So let's answer that call with a yes.
Mm, amen. And the truth is, love changes people. Love. Because mm-hmm. God is love. It's not all these other things. It's just simply loving people. So, well, I want to wrap up with a little bit of a kind of a go and do list or something to kind of pull back everything we've said and encourage each other to pray. Ask the Lord, is this a time that I can be a mentor to someone else? If so, who, Lord, Who would you like me to reach out to? Mm-hmm. Or is this a time to approach another? I've asked women to mentor me before. Just go up and ask them. And they may look at you like you're crazy because this isn't something they're used to. But that doesn't mean that they can't be useful. And because God will use all of us when, like Megan said earlier, we are open and we are receptive to God's call and his gifts. And then let's enter into these relationships, making them one-on-one. I think this is a little bit, what I'm going to say is going to sound contradictory to what Megan was just talking about, those random 15-minute encounters. I think those are very good. Yes, I agree. Absolutely. But this is a little bit of a both and. I'm going to also encourage, if you are at a place where you can really make this work, make a regular commitment. Know that every third Thursday of the month at 1 o'clock in the afternoon before you go pick up kids from school or before you have class or before, I don't know, whatever else you do, you go to the gym or something, that this is when you meet with your mentor or the gal you're mentoring. But make it a regular commitment if you can. Choose if you're going to read a book together, you're going to read the Bible together, the catechism. Are you just going to have coffee and talk about life and open up about what's going on? But it's not just about the gal who's being mentored opening up. It's also about the mentor opening up. Because like Megan said earlier, that being authentic is... it's key. My spiritual mother is, I know I can tell her anything because she's been so open and authentic with me. Though I think she's a saint now, she's going to not agree with that. You know, she's lived a life and no one is perfect. So mm-hmm. let's make ourselves relatable and not put ourselves over. We're not lording over anyone.
No.
We're meeting them right where they are.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good point. I don't mean to make this podcast longer, but this is really important. Read this book recommended by a good friend called The Culture Code. This is not a religious book at all. It's about successful units. It's about successful families, successful organizations, successful products, successful businesses. One of the key pieces in all of these elements that show great success is this idea of trust. And trust comes about through the vulnerability of a leader. So it always goes back to somebody willing to take a risk, somebody willing to be honest, open, transparent, vulnerable. And that's really what you were saying. And so it's in that place of honesty that hearts can connect and trust is built. And that's when somebody feels as if they do belong and their voice matters. So just want to encourage that.
No, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's true. I couldn't tell her some of the things that I tell her if she hadn't been that for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful. All right, ladies, we've had another great week here in the trenches. Hopefully great, maybe. Well, with God, all things are good, right?
Amen.
So we thank you for joining us this week. We're grateful for all of you with us in the trenches. You can find show notes on thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe, leave us a review, share us with a friend, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming. Oh.